Since the beginning of the year, we've been in a series, Back to the Basics. We've talked about back to the basic disciplines, back to the basic doctrines. Lately, we've been involved in back to the basic deeds. One of those was baptism in water. Tonight, I want to talk about another basic deed that I think is very basic to the Christian experience, and that's attending church. Hebrews 10:24, and let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Isn't it frightening that at a time when Christ's coming is drawing nearer, that more people and even more churches are having less church? But it says, as you see the day approaching, even more so should you assembled together. I want to preach tonight, back to the basics, but why you should faithfully attend church. I have several things here. I've thought of others as I was up here tonight. I didn't get them to Brother Mike. I may run out of battery, but I believe there's a lot of reasons why a person should faithfully attend church. Amen. God bless you. You can be seated tonight. I have to preface the message this evening by saying I am so appreciative of our church people's faithfulness. If you have any doubt of our church people's faithfulness, look around tonight on a Sunday evening. I do not say this with arrogance. I say it with appreciation, but this has become a unique thing where folks will gather on a Sunday evening. But look what we would have missed had we not been here tonight in this service. Haven't you been touched by the Spirit of the Lord? I joke tongue in cheek when folks start missing church. I just say to them sometimes, you know, there's a lot of things more important than church. And that's tongue in cheek. That means this is important. It's important. But I do feel so strongly about this. I know the article was more along a different theological line, but I wrote about it in the bulletin. On one of the news periodicals recently, there was there was this slogan. It was announcing an article in there, and it says, "Forget the church, follow Jesus." Forget the church, follow Jesus. I'm not going to go into that, but there is a trend within Christianity. Those that were raised in the church have begun to write and teach that you really don't need the church to follow Jesus. I mean, the church has so many problems. It's so antiquated. It's got so many faults that if you just really want to follow Jesus, just forget the church. Well, I have problems with that, but I think the main one that has a problem with that is Jesus. I want to say this. If you are able, and that's the qualifier, I really don't think you can follow Jesus if you don't get together with his church. Can you say amen? And so the question is, can you really follow Jesus and not regularly, if you're able, attend church? I'm going to give us reasons tonight why one should regularly attend church. When I begin to address this, I thought of a story I always like. One Sunday morning, the wife got up, began to get ready, and her husband wouldn't get up. She kept going in there to check on him. "Honey, aren't you getting up? Aren't you getting up?" "No, no." Finally, she said, "Honey, you need to get up. It's about church time." He said, "I'm not going this morning." She said, "Well, why?" He said, "Well, I'll tell you why. Nobody at that church likes me, and I can't take the preaching anymore." She said, "But honey, you've got to go to church." He said, "Why?" She said, "Number one, there are just a few people there that like you. And number two, you're the pastor. You got to preach this morning." Thank you. I'm going to talk about why we need to go to church. First of all, Jesus founded and builds the church. Hallelujah. I'll get over this in a minute. Sometimes I just get to think this. I was preaching a camp meeting some years back, and they had all the preachers set up on the platform in this area, and there's a bunch of them. And before one service, one of the preachers leaned over to me. He said, "You know, I was sitting up here one year, and there was a young preacher and an older preacher sitting in front of me. And the young preacher pointed back to the back, and he said to the old preacher, just trying to impress him, he said, "See that woman back there on the third pew from the back?" I made sure no one was on that pew. But he said, "See that woman, third pew from the back? Isn't she the ugliest woman you ever saw?" That old preacher looked at the young preacher and said, "I have you know that's my wife." Well, he's a quick thinker. He said, "Oh, no, I didn't mean her. I meant the woman sitting next to her." And the old preacher said, "That's my daughter." Sister Brock, the church may have some faults, but it's his church. It's his bride. Can you say amen? With all its faults, the church is still Jesus. It was his idea. It was his design. He founded it. He built it. In fact, it's more important than that. He died for the church. Acts chapter 20, verse 28. "Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood." Jesus paid for this church with his blood. He paid for every born-again person sitting in this place. He paid for it with his own blood. I'm not going to be theological tonight. I just want to share some things. I'm not going to exposit, but I just believe these are important reasons why we ought to go to church. Jesus purchased it with his own blood. Jesus builds it and continues to build it. Matthew 16, 18. Jesus said, "I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates shall not prevail against it." I want you to notice two words there: my church. You know, I just want to tell you this as a side, but sometimes, you know, when I get weighted down and, you know, I just, the burden and the things that are happening and I don't know what to do and how to do or how to handle, every once in a while I'll say, "No, wait a minute, God. This isn't my church. This is your church." I'm glad I can say it. How many knows this is his church? He's the head of it. He founded it. He built it. And that's why those who are bad-mouthing the church, they need to realize something. They are bad-mouthing the creation of God and of Christ himself. Can you say amen? Now, I know the true church isn't the building. I know the true church isn't even the visible congregation, the membership row, or even the attendees. The true church is invisible. It's everywhere across this globe. It spans all time since the cross. Even that's the true church. Not everyone you see in a church building is the church. So I know, amen, that the visible church isn't necessarily the building or the true church. But I want you to know this. The true church has always expressed itself when it gathers locally. It's when the true church gathers locally that you see an expression, you see, have an experience of the true church of God. That's why Paul said unto the church at Corinth, unto the church at Ephesus, unto the church at Colossae. Today he would say unto the church that's at the Union Road. No, the church isn't the building. No, the church isn't everybody sitting here. But I'm telling you, when we get together, the true church that Jesus bought with his blood has gathered together. Together in his presence. That's a good reason to go to church. Amen. Jesus didn't deal with his disciples one at a time. He gathered together with them as he gathered them to himself. And then secondly, why go to church? Oh, I like this. Because Jesus shows up in his church. Hasn't he showed up tonight with his presence? Jesus shows up in his church. I've already told you that the church is his body, but he fills his body with his fullness. The church is his temple, but he fills his temple with his Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. We just celebrated Easter, but Brother Rose, ever since the resurrection, Jesus has been showing up when his people got together. I mean, even on the first eve of the resurrection, Jesus showed up when his disciples got together. In John 20:19, that same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and saith unto them, peace be unto you. One of those disciples missed that meeting, and he missed the presence of Jesus. He missed the message of Jesus. But right there on the same day of his resurrection, Jesus started showing up when his people got together. Oh, just a few days later, Acts chapter 2, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the house where they were. How does Jesus show up when his people get together today? He shows up through the moving and the power of the Holy Ghost. I know he showed up tonight because the Holy Spirit, I'm telling you, one reason to come to church is because Jesus shows up in his church. Didn't he promise us that? Matthew chapter 18, verse 20. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. That's why we get together. Because when God's people get together, Jesus shows up. Another reason to regularly attend church is because the Bible commands it. I read that command tonight. It says in verse 24, and let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. Where are we going to do that? Where are we going to be provoking one another to love and to good works? We do that when we gather together. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is. There's some that claim Christ, they don't attend, but don't be like them, but exhort one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. This is a command. And we could begin to exposit this and talk a lot about it tonight, but I just want to share with you a few thoughts that I had about this. You know, this isn't a command, don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together, but my question would be, when your people are getting together, why wouldn't you want to be there with them? Hallelujah. I said, why wouldn't you want to be there with them? Those, and I have found this true. Amen. I may not be the most veteran one, but I have found this true. Those that are faithful to God's house and attending God's house are just as busy, if not more busy, than those that don't. How many believe that? It's true. It's true. I know there's such a thing as an ox in a ditch. How many knows what that metaphor means? Unavoidable situations. You have to work. Something shows up. A meteorite hits your house. You know, there's all kinds of just. But Billy Graham said one time, he said, it's all right to have an ox in a ditch, but if the ox keeps getting in the ditch, you need to either sell the ox or fill in the ditch. Now listen, you may think I'm hard-headed and don't understand anything and don't think there's ever an excuse. I know there are excuses. I really do. I wouldn't want anyone to put themselves in danger by driving in inclement weather. Okay? But I'll never forget one time it started misting, and it was freezing a little bit. It was getting icy out there. And I'm in the foyer, the phone rings, and it's this big old strapping, strong man, young man with a family. And he said, Pastor Hurst, we won't be coming tonight. It's getting bad. We're going to stay home. And as he was telling me that, I looked through the windows out through the foyer. How many members, Brother Milby? Now, when he got saved in his later years, he was up in years, and he was decrepit. And at first it was with a walker. He could hardly move. And as he's telling me, it's too bad, Pastor, we can't. I look out there in the parking lot, and here comes Brother Milby. I couldn't resist. Oh, there's Brother Milby coming to church. I've always believed if it's a true excuse, it needs no explaining. Wow. I thought we'd be running the backs of the pews by now. Here's some more thoughts. Maybe I shouldn't be sharing my thoughts. Maybe that's the trouble. Someone says, well, you know, the Bible never commands us to go to church 3 times a week. Did you know that's right? It never does. But it does command not to forsake your assemblies assembling. It's not talking about how many times each assembly gathers per week. It's just saying when your assembly is assembling, be there with them. And by the way, in other languages, the emphasis isn't just show up when they show up for church, but when God places you there, just don't forsake them for anything. Just be with that church to the end. I know there's doctrinal things and things are unavoidable that causes church changes. I understand that. But it's talking about just for any and everything to find yourself flitting from here to there. The language is strong. It's not just don't forsake coming together, but don't forsake that assembly. And then every time that assembly is assembling, you be there with them. So there's no law that says you have to go to church 3 times a week or 2 times a week or whatever. But if your church is assembling, just assemble with them. How many knows there's no law that says that you have to eat dinner, Thanksgiving dinner with your family? Some of you are already looking relieved. I didn't mean to take it that way. There's no law that says you have to eat Thanksgiving dinner and Christmas dinner. But if it's your family, you want to be with them, don't you? You don't need a commandment that says you got to be there on Thanksgiving Day. You don't need a commandment. And I just believe, hey man, you have a love for your assembly. And when they're getting together, you say, I want to be there. That's where we provoke one another to love and good works and encourage one another. And all of those things. Hey man, I know several years ago I've gotten away from it. But I used to say you only love God as much as you love His house. Remember that? I follow up with Brother Clendenin and said, he said, Sunday morning's religious crowd, Sunday night is the revival crowd, and Wednesday night's the rapture crowd. And I got a call one time, and I think it was the same fellow in the ice storm. I can't remember for sure. But I got a call one time. He said, Pastor, I can't stand it when you get up there and say that thing about you only love God as much as you love His house. Why? Why? We got to move on. Churches vote on whether to have a certain service, not by calling a business meeting. They vote every time they attend or don't attend. How many knows that services have never been canceled that were well attended? Isn't that right? If you surrender Wednesday night service, I'm talking about as a church, the next service to go will be Sunday night. Amen. It's not how many times you meet. It's just what you were doing as a church. We got to go on. Do you got any other reasons? Yes. Another reason to regularly attend church is it will affect your children. It will affect your children. Children are influenced and molded by their parents' regular attendance. I know it's not scientific, but one time we had our young married class was meeting back there, and just on a impulse, we were talking along these lines, and I asked them, I said, how many here this morning, your parents made sure you were regularly, without exception, in the house of God? Guess what? Everyone that was in my Sunday school class lifted their hands. There wasn't any there who could say, wait a minute, my parents didn't make sure that I was in the house of God, but I am. Now, we've had some exceptions to that, because thank God, in God's grace, there are exceptions, because His grace gets a hold of people. I mean, we have a young couple here in our class now. That was before they got there. They weren't raised that way, but thank God for His grace and their decision to follow Jesus. And I know there's exceptions the other way. You can raise your kids regularly in the house of God, and they got their own will and they make their own decision. That's another subject. I'm not saying that. So if your kids might not be faithfully following God, don't sit and condemn yourself, because many of you did raise them regularly in church. But those are the exceptions to the rule. The rule is, if you find a person who is that was raised in church, that is a faithful church attender, you're looking at someone who's more than likely, probably 95%, whose parents made sure they were regularly in the house of God. Isn't that true? It affects the children. You know, I don't know how to handle this because you're here tonight. If you're here tonight, you're faithful, right? So maybe you can get a CD copy and anonymously send it to someone that's not. Say, from your loving sister and your loving brother. Just leave it anonymous. Hallelujah. I want to ask tonight, though you're here, so maybe it'll get off out on the CD, what do you want for your children? Do you want them to be hit and miss Christians? You know, I have found through the years that parents, when their children are rebelling in their teens, when all of a sudden their children are going off and going away from church and the things of God, suddenly those parents act urgently concerned about their children's souls. But I tell you where it needs to start. It needs to start getting them used to the nursery Sunday school. That's where it needs to start. It'll have a tremendous impact on those children to you to regularly attend church. I know you've heard it said, it's like one of these badges, you know, that old folk wear, old folk like me wear, you know. But I'll go ahead and tell you, when I was a kid, we never knew to ask, are we going to church tonight? It never crossed our mind. I mean, that'd been like, we never thought of it, but if we had, it'd been blasphemy. Yeah. It's church. I mean, there's never any question. That's the way it ought to be. I mean, we're talking about eternal things. We're talking about important things. It will affect your children. I like what my friend told me one time. He was riding somewhere with a man, and he was trying to get that man to come to church. And that man said, I'll tell you one thing. I don't need to go to church to feel the presence of God. They were driving through the country, and he pointed out through the window and said, see that stump over there? I could go out there to that stump and feel the presence of God. My friend sat there for a moment, and he looked at him and said, tell me when's the last time you've been to that stump? I'll just teach my kids at home. Yeah, when's the last time that happened? We'll just have church at home. When's the last time that happened? God knew what was best. Something wonderful happens when we get together as His church. Amen. One man wrote a letter. Dear Pastor. Those are always nice. Those are like Dear Johns. Dear Pastor, you often stress attendance at worship as being very important for a Christian. But I think a person has the right to miss now and then. I think every person ought to be excused for the following reasons and the number of times indicated. During Christmas vacation, either the Sunday before or after, one Sunday. New Year's, a New Year's Sunday because of the partying, one Sunday. Easter vacation because kids have a long weekend, one Sunday. July the 4th, that's a national holiday, one Sunday. Labor Day, we need the rest to get away, one Sunday. Memorial Day, that's the time to visit graves in your hometown, one Sunday. The end of school, kids need a little refreshment, one Sunday. When school opens, you need to have one more getaway before school starts, one Sunday. Family reunions, that'd be two, Pastor, one for me, one for my wife, two Sundays. There ought to be a few Sundays you understand we're just worn out and everyone needs to sleep late every once in a while. That'll be four Sundays. Anticipated deaths in the family. Wouldn't you like to be a part of this family? Four families. An anniversary, a second honeymoon, one Sunday. Sickness, we have five family members, so let's plan on at least five Sundays. Five Sundays. Business trips, three Sundays. Vacations, three Sundays. Bad weather, such as ice, snow, rain, or clouds, six Sundays. Ball games, five Sundays. Unexpected company you can't leave, five Sundays. Time changes, there's two of those, Pastor, two Sundays. Specials on TV, such as the Super Bowl, three Sundays. Now, Pastor, that leaves only two Sundays per year. So you can count on us to be in church on the fourth Sunday in February and the third Sunday in August, unless providentially hindered. Sincerely, your faithful member. Another reason to attend church is it will change your perspective. It will change your attitude. One church marquee had this on it, Sister Judy. Don't let discouragement kill you. Let the church help. How many knows the church does help discouragement? Hallelujah. I want to ask you something. If church attendance isn't so important, why is the first thing to go when someone begins to grow cold and turn away from God? Why is one of the first things to go is their church attendance? If it's not important, why is it that when someone begins to miss church, you can rest pretty assured there's something major going on in their physical or spiritual lives? Can you say amen? But beyond that, I think church can change your perspective and attitude in a hurry. I have marveled at the times when you come to church, how quickly my perspective and your perspective and attitude can be changed when the Holy Spirit sweeps over. I mean, there have even been times when we've made it almost all the way through the service, and folks were still discouraged, they were still battling, they were still struggling, everything still looked really dark. And then the choir began to sing, and the Holy Ghost would begin to move, and the discouragement of a week would just be wiped away by the moving of the Holy Ghost. How many knows coming to church can change your perspective? How many's had that happen today? Some things have just melted off. Some of the things of your perspective have changed. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. Let me give you some scriptures to show you how that happened. Listen to the psalmist. But as for me, my feet were almost gone. My steps had well nigh slipped, for I was envious at the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. Behold, these are the ungodly which prosper in the world. They increase in riches. Look how sorry he's feeling for himself. Verily, I have cleansed my heart in vain. I've been a Christian in vain. I mean, the wicked's prospering. The wicked's getting the new job, the new car, the new house. I've been fighting battles. It's been in vain that I've served the Lord. I've washed my hands in innocency. For all the day long, I've been plagued. I mean, everything is going wrong. I've been chastened every morning. And when I thought to know this, when I meditated, it was too painful for me. I was discouraged. I was depressed. I was upset. But in one verse, verse 17, until I went into the sanctuary of God, hallelujah, and all that was wiped away. When I got to God's house, the worship was there, the word of God was there. All of that bad feeling and bad perspective was taken away. Has that happened to you in the house of God? Hallelujah. By the way, I mentioned Brother Milby, but I could have mentioned Brother Cruz, been coming to church with 10% of his heart working back there worshiping God. Hallelujah. I can't tell you how many times I've heard someone testify. Listen to see if you haven't. They'll testify and say, I didn't feel like coming to church. I started not to come. The devil told me not to come. I was depressed. I was going to stay at home. But I went ahead and came. And I'm so glad I did. Because he touched me. He touched me. And all the joy that floods my soul. Why should you attend church? Because it isn't just for you. You don't come. I don't come just for ourselves. We come for others. Look what it says. This is just one passage, Colossians 3:16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Church is where, it's not just for me, it's where I can admonish someone, where I can sing songs with grace. I mean, over and over, there's these one another passages in the New Testament. Confess your faults one to another. How do you do that at home? Facebook? Better not. That was not a suggestion. It was talking about when you come together as a church. Pray one for another. I know you can pray at home, but how many knew there's something happening when we laid hands on one another and prayed and agreed together in the name of Jesus? You can only do that when you're together. It's not just for you. It's not just for me. We don't go to church just for ourselves. In fact, if you approach church with only this thought, what will I get out of it? What will it do for me? In the end, you'll get very little. You'll be unsatisfied. But when you say, I go to church so we can pray together, we can worship together, we can even sit together and hear the word of God. When you have that approach, I'll go to church. Maybe I can be a blessing to someone. Hallelujah. It's not all about my problems. Brother Brian might be having problems. I'll see him at church. I'll encourage him. Amen. That's why we go to church. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. In fact, did you know just your absence can affect people? How many knows when you look out and see a lot of people missing, all of a sudden it affects your own spirit? Sure does a pastor. I mean, he gets looking out and folks are missing. He has to start pulling pages out of his notes and getting rid of them. I mean, it affects things. Just joking. What about this Paul giving instruction for our worship? Tongues and hymns and songs that only happens when you're together. There'd be no need of that instruction of our worship unless we gather together. I've told you this before, but one Sunday the preacher was preaching. He wanted to talk about the vision he had for the church, and he said, you know, there was a time this church was crawling. It's been that way for a while, but he said, I see a day when this church is going to start walking. And the people said, oh, pastor, let the church walk. Let the church walk. And he said, not only do I see a day when the church will start walking, but through what God's going to do, I see the day when the church is going to start running. And the church said, oh, pastor, let the church run. Let the church run. Oh, that was exciting. He said, oh, not only that, but it's going to get even better than that. One of these days, God's going to let the church fly. Oh, the people said, oh, pastor, let the church fly. Let it fly. And they were shouting. He said, but I want you to know one thing. It's going to take money for the church to fly. It's going to take each and every one of you giving and giving abundantly. Oh, it got quiet. Not a suddenly a man spoke up from the back and said, let the church crawl, pastor. Let the church crawl. Hey, how many knows it is what we put into this? Hallelujah. I want the church to fly. So I want to do my part. Amen. This could be a sermon in itself. I'll put it together in one point. Why attend church? It provides accountability, encouragement, exhortation, and teaching. Did you know it's at church that my life is evaluated? When I get in the presence of God, it lets me know right where I am with God. When I hear the word of God, it's a mirror that I see myself in. Not only that, it's the accountability of my brothers and sisters. Amen. When we come together in church, we sense, we don't always know, but we sense how our brothers and sisters are doing and how we are doing. It's an evaluation. Amen. The church is a place, by the way, the shepherd counts the sheep. Hallelujah. I miss it sometimes, but I know when folks aren't here, and my first concern is, amen, do they have trouble in their life? Are they sick? What's going on? It's a place of accountability. Amen. So many times I've went to visit folks that have been missing church, and they're discouraged, and they got this problem, that problem, and they'll say to me, I've got this problem, I got that problem, I'm discouraged, and I look at them in amazement, because many times the very thing that they say kept them out of church, that very problem had just been addressed in the service that they missed, just been preached in the service that they missed. The Holy Ghost had moved and gave a message in tongues and interpretation. The Holy Spirit had moved with a theme that would have addressed that problem had they been at church. We need church. It's a place we're exhorted and taught and covered. It's a place we give accountability that keeps us where we need to be. Another reason we need to go to church is because it's truly a place of belonging. Our nation is fragmented. Society is fragmented. In most cases today, even the home is fragmented. We are further fragmented by our electronic devices. But oh, when we come to church, we know that we belong. Hallelujah. How many knows the church is the family reunion for the family of God? Hallelujah. Every time we get together, when you look around, I don't care what the bloodline is or the earthly bloodline, when you get together, you're looking at your brothers and sisters. Oh yes, I'm a child of the King. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad to know that you belong to the body of Christ, the bride of Christ, the family of God? You do belong. Don't care your background, your history. If you're a born again believer, you belong to the family of God. Hallelujah. You're accepted. You're accepted. I'm accepted. Whatever our needs, we're accepted. Now, I know there's always some that say they come to church and their grievance is, I don't feel like I'm a part. And I'm not saying this cruel, and you know I don't have any sarcasm in me, but almost every time when someone says they don't feel a part, it's because they decline to make themselves a part. I've had young people say, and their parents come to us and say, well, my child just doesn't feel like I'm a part of the youth group. They don't go to youth rally. They don't come to youth night. Don't be a part of anything the young people do. Well, when you're not a part, you're not going to feel a part. No one's trying to leave you out. You've excluded yourself. Because I believe where there are truly the redeemed, and I believe this church is filled with the truly redeemed, they don't leave anybody out. Amen? Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Why should we come to church? It's a little. Actually, it's a whole lot like heaven. You say, Pastor, how can you say that? Because heaven's all about the presence of God. And we feel the presence of God at church. Heaven's about fellowship. And church is about fellowship. Heaven is about singing. Have you read in the book? Heaven's about singing. We sing at church. Heaven's about worship. We worship at church. Heaven's about the glory of God. We experience the glory of God at church. Heaven is about sharing the table of the King. And when we come to church, we experience the table of the King. I felt a little heaven tonight, didn't you? How can you know that? Well, the church is where the Holy Spirit moves, and the Bible says the Holy Spirit is the earnest of our inheritance. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad for the church tonight? Can you say amen? We used to have a great altar service. I remember several times, Brother Leitner, maybe it's just a child's memory, but I remember several times after a good altar service, we'd be sitting around, and someone would start singing, "This is like heaven to me. This is like heaven to me. I've crossed over Jordan to Canaan's fair land, and this is like heaven to me." Brother Rose, church is just a whole lot like heaven, isn't it? If you don't think it is, you get out in the world tomorrow and tell me what the church is like. Amen. Last of all, we need to attend church because it's a place to give and to minister. We're living in a narcissistic society that's all self-absorbed in itself. In fact, our generation, the current generation, is called the me generation. Just look out for me, what I like, what appeals to me. But because of that, people today are more filled with anxiety, more unfulfilled, more purposeless, and more unhappy because they've made it all about them. But I'm telling you, church is a wonderful thing because it affords us the opportunity to not make it about ourselves, but to make it about someone else. I love it every time I see a person come to the altar with the need. I love the way our folks respond, and they're right there to pray. Church is a place you can minister. You know, I'd like to say this tonight, not that I demean the position at all on this platform, but most real ministry does not happen on and from this platform. It's a different role. It's a different purpose. But there are so many ways to minister to people rather than just preaching a sermon or singing a song. How many know that? I mean, there is no joy like knowing you're making a difference in someone's life. It may be just listening to someone at church share their need. After the service has ended, "What's wrong, sister?" Talking about another sister. "What's wrong, sister?" And she begins to weep and cry right there sitting in the pews. You just listen. That's a ministry. Sometimes it is to give them a word. I was praying for you today, brother, and God dropped this in my heart to share with you. That's ministry. Just praying with them. I mean, tonight, again, my heart was thrilled when you went to the different ones. I saw you looking for them and reaching out. I mean, that's ministry. Church is an opportunity and a place to minister. Amen. Every time. Now, I'll tell you one other. And all of these have several things. But we come to church to give. How many knows the commandment is on the first day of the week to bring of your abundance and your tithe into the storehouse? That's a part of worship. Hallelujah. And so church is an opportunity where we can know the joy of giving out and ministering to others. One man wrote, "This is my church." Would you come, music? "This is my church. It's composed of people just like me. My church will be friendly if I am. My church will do a great work if I work. My church will make generous gifts to many causes if I'm generous. My church will bring others into its fellowship if I bring them. My church will fill its pews if I help fill them. My church will be a place of loyalty and love and of faith and service if I'm loyal, if I love, if I have faith, if I minister. If I, who make it what it is, am filled with these, it'll be that. Therefore, with God's help, I dedicate myself to the task of being all these things I want my church to be." Wonderful to get out of ourselves and minister to others. Brother Mike, you don't have it unless you can type awfully fast. Can I give you just one more? I think we ought to regularly attend church, because the church is what's going back with Jesus when he comes. Don't you want to be a part of the church? Hallelujah. Oh, thank the Lord. Thank the Lord. Hallelujah. I'm going to close with this. Years ago when we were evangelizing, we were at a church. I didn't know the church, didn't know the pastor. Through contacts, I was going to hold a week's a meeting there. And about the first night of that meeting, I gave the altar call. God was moving. I could tell it. God was moving. They had altar benches. I gave the altar call, and at the center altar, a man came down, kind of scruffy. You could tell he'd been living hard, a young man. Couldn't tell how young because you could tell his rough lifestyle. He knelt on that side of the altar, and oh, he prayed and weeped. And as soon as he got down there and prayed, an older man, you could tell he was one of the church members, he got up and he came and knelt on the other side of the altar. And I'm telling you, he wept and he cried and he prayed with that other man. I mean, and finally that other man began to feel the forgiveness of God and lifted up his hands, and the glory of God came on his face. And about that time, the older brother on this side of the altar, he jumped up and he came over to me and said, "Oh, pastor," or I wasn't pastor then. He said, "Oh, preacher," he said, "I'm so excited." I said, "Oh, yes, why?" He said, "See that young man? He's been a drug addict for years, and that young man is my son, and God has saved him tonight." And he was so excited and shouting. That impressed me. I was excited about that. The next night, oh, I could tell you some other stories there, but the next night, the crowd went from 200 to about 35. And some of them were missing was this older man and that young man. And I asked the pastor, I said, "You know, that young man got saved last night. Where was he at?" And here's what he said. And I also found out the older man was a deacon in the church. He said, "Well, that other man," and it was either a birthday party or a golf outing. I can't remember which. I believe it was a golf outing. He said, "The older man had a golf outing tonight, and he invited his son to go with him." I thought, oh my God, if I had a drug addict son that had prayed through the night before, I would have made sure I was in the house of God, and I would have made sure he had rode to church with me. Hallelujah. Church is so important because it's where the eternal work of God is done. And I've not gotten to all the theology. Amen. But I know the truth of what I'm saying. Forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. And so much the more as you see the day approaching. It's a glorious church without spot or wrinkle, washed in the blood of the Lamb. If you're glad to be a part of the church, would you stand and all of you and lift your hands and say, "Thank you, God, that I'm a part of the church. I'm a part of the family of God. I worship you." Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. I want to do something tonight. Go ahead and worship him. If you're here tonight And Christ is not your personal Savior. You've not made Him Lord of your life. But you have felt, ever since you've been in the house, you have felt the Holy Spirit drawing you and speaking to you. I want to invite you to come right now. You'd say, I'd like to be a part of the great church. I'd like to know that I have eternal life. Would you come right now to this altar? Amen. I want you to know, before you leave this place, you can know that you have eternal life. You can know that if you would go home tonight and pass away, amen, or some calamity, you could know you would spend eternity in heaven. Are you here tonight and you need Christ? Oh, He's reaching for you right now. He shed His blood that you could have eternal life, be forgiven of sins, and know peace and joy within. Are you here? You need Christ tonight. I want to invite you to come. Amen. He that cometh to me, Jesus said, I will in no wise cast out. If you'll come to me, Jesus said, I will receive you unto myself. Are you here? You need Christ. You need Christ. Would you come? That's right. God bless. Hallelujah. That's right. Is there someone else? Oh, His blood washes away all sin. His blood washes. That's it. Is there anyone else that'd like to join this one that's come? Anyone else? You need Jesus. I'm telling you, oh, His arms are wide open. His arms are wide open. Hallelujah. 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 Is there someone else you'd like to come? Oh, hallelujah. Part of the family of God, washed in the blood, forgiven, the hope of eternal life. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Is there someone else? Someone else you'd like to come? You need Christ. Would you come right now? Oh, He'll change your life. He'll change your eternity. Amen. You need Jesus. Would you come? Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. I'd like to invite everyone that'd like to come and pray. Would you come and pray? Amen. With this one and others, just fill up the altars and let God do a work in your life tonight. Hallelujah.
I'm a part of the family.
That's right, let's seek Him together. God's doing an eternal work. Oh, hallelujah.
I'm a part of the family of God. I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. I've been warned.